Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, August 5th, 2014, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Anastasia. The Autumn Crystal Quest starts on the next equinox, September 21 to 27. So if you feel drawn to crystals, you want to reconnect with your soul family, and your chart has 25, 26, or 27 degrees in any of these signs, Taurus or Scorpio, Cancer, Capricorn, Aquarius, or Leo, you have the rites of passage to participate. And if you're not sure if you have those markings, just send an email to crystals@starseedhotline.com for more details. Our special guest this evening is the creator of Teton Spirit Connection, Samantha Strawbridge Eddy. As a resident of Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and owner of a metaphysical bookstore called Spirit Books Gifts Life, she wanted to provide a go-to network for all the spiritually based happenings in this powerful area of the Teton Valley. As both a semi-annual magazine and online portal, Teton Spirit Connection gives visitors and residents of the area access to many mind, body, and spirit offerings from organizations, businesses, and events in the area. She is also an energetic facilitator using guided meditations and her own intuitive abilities to help people expand and clear their consciousness and release fears and limitations. Her websites are TetonSpirit.com, SamanthaEddy.com, and SpiritJH.com. We'll be starting this evening with Anastasia's Starseed News segment, bringing us topics that you won't hear about in the mainstream media. And we'd like to thank Vanya for hosting the switchboard this evening. And you can call in with comments or questions for Samantha on 917-889-8292. And remember to press 1 when you're prompted so we know you have a question. If you like the show, please click follow on our page and you'll get a weekly announcement about our next episode. And we're also on iTunes if you'd like to download any of our shows to go. We also have an online Starseed community at starseedhotline.ning.com. Excuse me. And special thanks go to Tammy for her dedication to the forum. Starseed Hotline's toll-free number is 888-881-0881. The Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone session available with Lavendar, Anastasia, or myself. And remote healing sessions for people and pets are also available with Tammy. If you have a birthday coming up, you can find out how to make the most of your 10 hours of power by requesting your solar return timing. So first this evening, I'd like to introduce Anastasia and the Starseed News.
Good evening, everybody. It's great to be with you. Hi, Arielle.
Hey there. How you doing?
Hi. Just great to be here. Hello, Lavendar and everybody. Another week. It is the 5th of August, first week of August. Time is moving quickly. We are quickly proceeding towards autumn. And I want to tell you about the meteor activity that is going on. They say that meteor activity is increasing as Earth begins to plunge deeper into the debris stream of Comet Swift-Tuttle. That's the source of the annual Perseid meteor shower, as you know. They say last night alone, NASA cameras recorded more than a dozen Perseid fireballs, along with one sporadic bolide, which is an exploding meteor, that dropped pieces of itself over the southeastern USA. And sunspot AR2130 is directly facing Earth now, and it has a complex data class magnetic field that harbors energy for strong flares. So we're going from a sleeping giant to starting to wake up. The sun has the potential for X-class flares coming up directly. Over Alabama, a fireball exploded on Saturday night. NASA meteor cameras detected this fireball. They say that it exploded in a flash of light many times brighter than the moon. And they also say it did not come from the Perseid debris stream, but rather from the vicinity of the asteroid belt between Mars and Jupiter. They said that the meteoroid was about 15 inches in diameter and weighed close to 100 pounds. Traveling at 47,000 miles per hour, it broke apart in a brilliant flash above the Alabama town of Hennigar. Wow. Not very big. A lot of show for not much weight, not much size. Well, I think I may have mentioned this earlier the last few weeks on Starseed News, and I may not have, but they have discovered an enormous crater in Siberia. Some call it a sinkhole, some call it a mini Grand Canyon. It's absolutely enormous, and it has puzzled people. Actually, they had said that some reindeer herders had fallen into it by accident. And these are appearing in various places over Siberia. This is not the first one. But this mystery crater, and by the way, it was in the Yamal Peninsula in Siberia, frozen earth, frozen permafrost up there, they have discovered that air near the bottom of the crater contained unusually high concentrations of methane, up to 9.6%. And they just studied this. They just conducted these tests on the middle of July. Well, scientists say that the air normally contains just, catch this, 0.0001.79% methane. And yet in this crater, it was almost 10%. They really are giving us a lot of reports of methane coming up from the seafloor, from underneath the earth, not just in the oceans. Something is going on under the ground. Some experts are theorizing that it is methane being released in explosions, possibly ignited by atmospheric conditions connected to lightning and meteor dust, that may be causing sinkholes around the planet. That's it in a nutshell. It gets a little bit more complicated than that, but very interesting. And there's been a lot of news, well, generous amount of news about methane being discovered in some of these places. Some people thought that it was a UFO impact or a gas or a missile explosion. None of that has been the case. So it's gas coming up from the earth underneath. And this is a wild story out of the UK. I wish you all could see this photograph. So just let me explain it to you. Take a rectangle sheet of paper, like a legal size sheet of paper. Hold it up over your head, up against the blue sky, and turn it at a slight angle. It's got four sharp sides, and it is a rectangle, right? Well, yeah, that's a sheet of paper. But residents in England were alarmed by looking up to see a rectangular-shaped cloud floating over their houses this past weekend. It is an amazing thing. It's got right angles, sharp edges. It looks like a ruler. Really, really weird. Well, guess what the government said? The government told the people that the cloud was just an oddly shaped contrail. They said that the contrail was molded by winds and shaped it precisely at its very sharp right angles. Oh, boy. Some explanations just don't hold water, and this one certainly doesn't. If you want to see that, you might Google that, square cloud over Exeter, UK. Wild.
Wow.
Well, in Western, yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and it just amazes me that the government continually gives these really idiotic explanations for things, and I guess a lot of people buy it, but man, if you've got a thinking brain, there's no way you just got to see this picture to believe it.
The thing is,
well,
the people
anyway,
paid to make that stuff up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well,
there's so much activity over England.
Oh, lots of activity. Yeah, we got an extremely interesting crop circle story here in a minute, too. But and that's not over England this time. But anyway, in Sweden, in western Sweden, remember we've talked about lightning and thunderstorms and what's going on in the atmosphere. Well, they had such a powerful thunderstorm in Sweden. 5,000 households were without electricity. They had really severe thunderstorms. We don't think of Sweden or the northern countries as getting that kind of weather, but they have been. And across southeastern Norway, there's been a torrential rain and freaky storms that have just caused havoc. Several towns and villages in Norway were flooded. Trees were blown down across the streets and highways. They had hail the size of tennis balls that broke open car windows. And one town reported over 100 trees falling. So just a lot of strange weather. It's either real wet or real dry. And in Southern California, there was flash flooding that claimed the life of at least one person on Sunday. They say extreme rainfall wiped out dozens of homes and left thousands stranded by impassable roads. They say the downpours punctuated with thunder and lightning dumped nearly 5 inches on Mount Baldy and as much as 3.5 inches on Forest Falls, just 50 miles away. So drought and water, amazing. Well, we don't hear much about earthquakes in South Africa either, but there was one. A 5.3 magnitude earthquake hit central South Africa today, killing at least one person, trapping some miners underground. The USGS said the tremor was centered in Orkney, a town 70 miles southwest of Johannesburg, and in an area with a high concentration of very deep gold mines. Well, along the California coast, we have more problems with dying fish. They're reporting the third mass die-off of anchovies in 3 weeks in Santa Cruz. And also in Capitola Beach, California, thousands of fish were found dead on the beach, and they said there was a paste-like substance in the water. Now, it's unclear to authorities whether the substance caused the fish to die, but they're not allowing people into the water because they really don't know what it is or what happened. And in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, if you live up in that neck of the woods, you're probably aware that at least 400 birds were found dead across that county falling from the sky. Now, in southern China, I'm sure you've heard this story. It's been all over the news, but they had a powerful earthquake in China that toppled thousands of homes on Sunday, killing hundreds of people and injuring thousands. They say about 12,000 homes collapsed, and the magnitude 6.1 earthquake struck at a depth of 6 miles, according to the USGS. Also, earthquakes in the Federated States of Micronesia, a magnitude 6.1 on Sunday, and on Saturday there was a 6.9. What is the Federated States of Micronesia? That's right near Papua New Guinea. So one after the other, both over 6.1, almost 7. Well, a new eruption occurred yesterday in Japan in a Japanese volcano. Y'all want to guess if I can say this? Here we go. Kuchin or Abu Jima. And it said that it erupted for the first time in 34 years, released an ash plume and a pyroclastic flow. The eruption, they say, lasted 10 minutes, and there were no reports of victims or damages. Well, this is the story I referred to at the beginning of the news segment, and that is that thousands of tourists are now flocking to see a mysterious crop circle in Germany. Well, it's an amazing photograph on the net. It's three circles inside of a large circle with diamond patterns between these circles. And the people in the photograph are itsy bitsy, teeny weeny, look like little ants inside this large circle. Well, one landowner in Germany said that it was students having fun. They are claiming that this was made by kids on a weekend. Well, honestly, again, you know, it's amazing how people can tell these lies so straight-faced. Crop circle itself, by the way, is 246 feet in diameter. It's a very complex pattern, and I mentioned to you that the people are so tiny. Good grief, there's no way kids could make that probably in a year, let alone on a weekend. So if you're interested in crop circles, Google that, crop circle in Germany. That is just recently discovered. Now, we've had some weird weather, as we talk about every week, but guess what? I used to go through Death Valley all the time, and it is hot. It's really hot in Death Valley. But not yesterday. Record low maximum temperatures were reached in Death Valley yesterday. It reached 89 degrees. 89 degrees. This broke the previous low temperature record of 104 degrees. That was their low record, 104 degrees, set in 1945. Death Valley is usually scorching in the 120s and up. 89 degrees. Amazing.
Wow.
Well, earlier this week at a conference in Cleveland, Ohio, scientists with NASA's EagleWorks Laboratory in Houston, Texas, well, they presented a paper indicating that they had achieved a small amount of thrust from a container that had no traditional fuels, only microwaves bouncing inside it. What are they talking about? Well, it's an impossible space engine is what they're working on. And guess what? It worked. It worked. It has no traditional fuel, no traditional energy source. And they say if the results can be replicated, they could ultimately result in ultra-lightweight, ultra-fast spacecraft that could carry humans to Mars in weeks instead of months and to the nearest star system outside of our own, which, by the way, is called Proxima Centauri, in just about 30 years. Now, the type of container that NASA tested was based on a model for a new space engine that doesn't use liquid propellant or nuclear reactors. It is called a Kana drive. The idea is that microwaves bouncing from end to end of a specially designed, unevenly shaped container can create a difference in radiation pressure, causing thrust to be exerted toward the larger end of the container. Well, even better than that, the NASA team built two Kana drives, including one that they designed to fail. But guess what? It didn't. They both worked. The one they designed to fail worked. And the scientists wrote in their abstract, thrust was observed on both test articles, even though one of the test articles was designed with the expectation that it would not produce thrust. Well, they are really amazed by this because they say that it's not attributable to any classical electromagnetic phenomenon. In other words, they've discovered something new, and they're not quite sure why it works. Pretty cool. Well, how many of you people out there, I know our starseed are so informed and enlightened and all of that, but a lot of people are hooked on Facebook. A lot of people are hooked on Facebook. They're so hooked on Facebook, in fact, in Los Angeles, that some Los Angeles residents resorted to calling 911 just to report that Facebook was down on Friday. This is a story out of Reuters. Facebook was not accessible to several counties for around 30 minutes on Friday. I say it was fully restored, but nevertheless, most Los Angeles, because some, considered this to be such an emergency that they called 911.
Oh, my
God. Public information. Isn't that so?
Oh, my God.
Call 911. Facebook is down. Help. Public information officer from L.A. County Sheriff's Office posted a tweet scolding the people who called the 911 lines. He said, Facebook is not a law enforcement issue, so please don't call us about it being down. We don't know when Facebook will be back up.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that something? I mean, people really are hooked on their technology. I'm reminded of that old TV series, Battlestar Galactica, with the Cylons and all that. And, you know, people really are starting to meld into their machines. Can't stand it when they don't work. But we know the real way to be connected is to be connected spiritually. We can just let go of the iPhone and connect spiritually, energetically, electromagnetically, aurically, and otherwise through our hearts. Well, that's it for tonight's news. I'm looking forward to the show.
Well, as are we, and thank you so much, Anastasia, for the Starseed News. That's some good things to think about throughout the week.
Yeah.
I'm going to go look at those pictures that you mentioned.
Oh,
so
yeah,
thank
check
you.
Out that. Yeah, you're welcome.
Okay. Lavendar, I'm going to bring Samantha on here in just a minute. Let me get the microphone open. Hello, Samantha. Welcome to Starseed Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Lavendar, you, I know you're there. I can see you. Are you unmuted?
I'm unmuted. I'm ready to go.
Okay, great.
Hey, Samantha, so glad that you were able to be our guest today. And you're living in one of my favorite places of all time, the Tetons of Wyoming. So let's start by just saying hello to you and bring us some messages from the Tetons.
All righty. Well, thank you, first of all, Lavendar, for having me. It's a privilege to be accessible to this community, so I so appreciate the opportunity. And yes, the Tetons are an especially magnificent place. And I know that you yourself have done retreats here and such, and you know, please guide me along as I speak, because I'm not entirely sure what the audience is familiar with in terms of the Tetons, but I thought that I would just start in talking about the Grand Teton area and its spiritual significance, and go from there. Many people probably who are your listeners are more than likely aware of the Royal Teton Retreat in association with some of the Ascended Masters being affiliated with having a retreat here in the Jackson Hole area. And that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg about the whole area. I wanted to talk a little bit about how originally the Native Americans always found this a sacred place. For those unfamiliar with what Jackson Hole looks like, it's a very flat basin that is surrounded on all sides with mountains, which thus creating what is called Jackson Hole, which is the southern end of Grand Teton National Park, with Yellowstone National Park just on the north of Grand Teton National Park. And a hole is literally a description, a geographical description for the landscape, in that it's a basin surrounded on all sides by mountains. And the mountains that we have here are some of the most beautiful in the world. You've probably seen them on the internet or in car advertisements or something like that. And they are all granite, and they're very deeply infused with clear and crystal quartz, which are, you know, the two crystals that are most known for clarity and unconditional love. So as you think about just the landscape itself, it is this almost like sound bowl, crystal energy sound bowl, that's creating a vortex in the space itself. And on the north side, we have Yellowstone National Park, which is considered to be the closest to the Earth's core of anywhere on the planet. So here we have direct access to the core of the Earth. And then the Teton Mountains are some of the youngest on the planet, which are still rapidly moving upward. And so there's this incredible dichotomy energetically, along with the rose and crystal quartz in the mountains themselves. To top off all of that, we are the headwaters of the Snake River. And if you just think symbolically as well, the Snake River, the snake, the kundalini, the energy of the snake flowing from the depths of Yellowstone's caldera, and thinking of the snake as a symbol for transformation, which is coming at the base of the Tetons. And anyone who's taken basic French might know that the Tetons are mountains that were named by French explorers, and they are named specifically for women's breasts. So here we have this heart chakra-related mountains with this kundalini energy flowing through our valley, surrounded on all sides by these mountains infused with crystal. It's pretty potent just as a geological structure. And that's just the beginning.
I just love the way you describe that. Yeah, it's this fine feminine goddess woman power up at the Tetons.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. You know, we seem to be in an era right now where many people are beginning to, you know, are feeling that the divine feminine energy is becoming more prominent in our global civilization. And I think that there's a lot to be said about that. And here with the Tetons, I was doing a little research recently about numerology and the mountains, and it's my understanding that the number 22 is a divine feminine number. And this fellow walked into my shop. I own a little metaphysical bookstore in Jackson Hole. And on July 22nd, just a couple of weeks ago, or not quite even, and he was like, oh, it's the day of the divine feminine, 7/22/2014, 7/22/7. And then he was a Frenchman living in Los Angeles who was coming to do his own spiritual retreat and was asking questions, and he said, oh, I've just driven up into the national park, and there's one mountain in particular. It's not the Grand Teton. It's this other mountain that's really drawing my attention. And I immediately said, oh, that's Mount Moran. That's the one that's actually considered to be the mountain that holds the retreat where St. Germain is said to reside. And we described Mount Moran, which is much more of has much more of a square top with a contrasting wedge of a different type of geological structure right at the top of it. And he got online and looked at Wikipedia, and it was so amazing because the first ascent of Mount Moran was on July 22nd, 1922. So it's all kind of amazing how all of the synchronicity of all of the things happening. And here he was doing an homage and a retreat specifically meditating on the Divine Mother energy here in the Tetons, and it was on this exact day so many years ago that the first ascent on that mountain happened.
That's pretty incredible. I mean, look at the synchronization of that. I always say, you know, synchronization is confirmation.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. In fact, it sort of goes even deeper for me personally in that regard. Highway 22 is the primary highway running through Jackson Hole. My store is just off of Highway 22. I moved here when I was 22. I created Teton Spirit Connection last year when I was 44, 22 years later. So there is definitely something very potent about the number 22 and my personal relationship with the Tetons, but also with the Tetons themselves. And I actually think that that's worth mentioning, too. In numerology, the true essence of the 22 is considered to be the ability to experience all that the 11 has to offer and apply it to the material world, sort of taking consciousness and moving it into its next phase. You know, even in the tarot, there are 22 of the major arcana cards, from the Fool to the World, are 22 cards. And I think that is, if I were to say one thing in particular about the Grand Teton area, is that it's really the energy of this place is very much about the integration, about bringing a consciousness and integrating it into the physical realms, which is a little bit different than some of the other places on the planet where, you know, so many talk about ascension and moving up out of the physical realms into other dimensions. And this is about bringing that energy and consciousness from the dimensions and integrating it into our physical reality here on the planet so that the whole planet becomes part of that physical reality integrated with the consciousness from other dimensions.
You know, it's been a while since I've been up there, but I remember seeing so much female sage in Wyoming. I never really saw any male sage. I just kept seeing female sage. Have you experienced a lot of female sage growing wild up there?
You know, to be honest, I haven't noticed that myself. You know, we have tons of sage, and I guess I've taken it for granted as to the gender of the sage. So that's yet another thing to make note of.
And wasn't Wyoming the first state that allowed women to vote?
It was. And Jackson Hole had the first women's towns council. So we've got some pretty cool things in that regard as far as the feminine goes, setting the tone, although it is quite a conservative state now.
I remember being in a restaurant bar, and I remembered seeing all the pictures on the wall from all the different Hollywood films that have been filmed there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting bar. I can't remember the name of it now, but
you know, it was probably the Silver Dollar Bar, because they're which is right in downtown Jackson, and it's been an icon for many, many years. And they
still
really
there,
have
then?
An old. It is. Oh, absolutely. Yes, it is.
Yeah, okay. Well, what brought you to the Tetons? Tell us a little bit about you and your spiritual journey.
Well, you know, I think serendipity is the word that I would use. I grew up originally on the East Coast in New England, and I spent a huge amount of time as a youth in Europe traveling there. And I was actually in Europe when all of a sudden I was struck with, I've never even been west of the Mississippi, and I need to go to the west. And so from Europe, I started communicating. I, through a mutual friend, found out about a dude ranch here in Jackson Hole and started communicating from Europe to this dude ranch in Jackson Hole and ended up getting a job here. And actually have been here ever since. So I moved here when I was 22, as I said, and I've lived here for now 23 years. And one of the things about Jackson Hole that's quite important to note is I was just talking about sort of the, you know, geography or the landscape, and it very much is a vortex. And in my years of living here, we joke about, you know, sort of getting stuck in the hole or getting spit out, because it truly is this huge vortex created by this basin, that exists here. And there was a moment where I was considering leaving, and all of a sudden everything about it shifted, and I asked the universe, you know, if I'm supposed to stay here, everything needs to fall into place right now. And lo and behold, it did in less than 24 hours. And I have been here ever since, and I have always been very interested in the spiritual community here. We have a huge number of healers who are very much tapped into the area, but it's been very underground in terms of everything sort of word of mouth, in terms of what people are doing and who's communicating with who and all those things. But I started receiving some messages early in 2000 about this place, really beginning to understand it on a much more sort of cognitive level about what this place is energetically and where it's headed, and that I indeed have a role in kind of laying the foundation for it to move into its full potential.
And don't you do some counseling at work? Tell us a little bit about the work you do with people.
Yes, I do. I do work with people one-on-one and in groups. I use guided meditation primarily to help connect people to source energy, and then serve as a vessel for that energy to help people release emotional blocks and limiting belief systems. It's an intuitive process where I merge with my client's energy fields, and in that merging process, I begin to identify where blocks are in their energy field and help them identify it and release them. Sometimes it's past life issues that are blocked in their systems or from their childhood. Sometimes it's actually relevant to the moment. It's all dependent, but it's about clearing these belief systems once and for all from their subconscious, conscious, and cellular memory. And it's something that I began to learn about because of my own inner knowing that we are all pure essence, that's our natural state of being, and I could feel in myself these layers of blocks and incongruent information in my being that was limiting me from being the truth of who I am.
Yes, I'm finding that a lot of us have gone through a series of clearing and cleansing and getting rid of the blocks that have, you know, been presented to us by teachers, schools, churches, parents, ancestors, bloodlines. We're all kind of shaking all those things off now, I think. I think we've come to a place where we know what works and what doesn't. And I'm finding with my clients that they're so eager to know more about their galactic heritage and their starseed activations. That seems to be what's coming to me a lot. Do you have a lot of people that walk into your store and they just claim to be starseed?
You know, I don't know if people necessarily are using that language. I do. There's a handful who speak that language, but in general, that isn't the most common theme. I think that there are many people who understand that they have a higher purpose, but an affiliation with something far bigger than who they are, but are less cognitively aware of their role or their heritage beyond this planet.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know that, you know, when we opened our, we started our website about 5 years ago, you could type in starseed on Google and hardly anything would come up. But now you can go to Google and type in starseed and you just get pages.
I'm sure.
So it's like that seems to be something that's being really activated on the planet for people to find one another.
Well, I definitely think that's very true. And, you know, I am very much in awareness and have had a lot of my own experiences with communications from the higher realms. And I use a little bit of a different language in terms of celestial beings. And, you know, there are all the different types of beings that there are. And but I also... As a consultant and as a bookstore proprietor and such, I also find that it's really important to be in awareness that there is a consciousness beyond this earth plane, but also to be very aware that we're here on this earth plane for a reason, and to be able to integrate the two is perhaps what I'm most interested in. And as I said earlier, I feel like the Teton area is very much about setting forth that message, that as a place, it's almost becoming an amalgamation of an integration of an awakened state of being and a physical and being in the physical world simultaneously.
I noticed that a lot of artists used to come to Jackson Hole. Is there still a lot of art galleries there?
Yes, indeed. I think we're second only to Santa Fe in terms of Western art here in Jackson Hole. And you know, it's very interesting. It's very interesting in terms of this location. You know, in 2013, Teton County was voted first in the country for physical activity. Just this year, it was voted number 7 as friendliest city in the U.S. by Condé Nast Traveler. A fellow by the name of Richard Bangs, who's an acclaimed travel writer, just recently came here and said this quote, "Jackson Hole may be that mythical intersection, deftly incorporating elements of the small town with the big city, a realization of humanity's most advanced thought, the idea that recognizes itself in good things." And, you know, it's just, there seems to be something where it's, as a community who lives here, there's a consciousness that's existing at a high vibration. You know, there isn't a restaurant in town except for the major food chains that doesn't offer, you know, antibiotic-free or hormone-free meat products or organic food. In general, it's just we're really operating at a high vibration. And I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Masaru Emoto, who wrote Hidden Messages in Water, but he came here and actually pulled water from the Snake River. And when he assessed it with his ice crystals, he was astounded at the beauty of the ice crystals and the absolute joy and love that was apparent in the ice crystals, because based on the water, he actually thought it was dirtier than he was imagining that the ice crystals would relay. And he was like, wow, the people here must really, really love this river because this river is absolutely showing in the ice crystals beauty that love exists in this water flowing through this valley.
Wow. Yeah. I know of his work, and I've worked with a lady that worked with him for several years, and I can remember when he was up there. Yeah, I remember that he was very impressed with that area, very impressed mm-hmm. with that area. You know, I haven't seen anything new that he's done recently. Have you?
No, I agree. I haven't seen anything just super recently, no.
In fact, I haven't heard anything about him in several years. I'll have to call my friend and ask her about him. Tell
yeah.
us more about your bookstore. What all do you have in your bookstore? Do you have, like, gemstones and candles and books? And do you have a little place
mm-hmm.
where people come and do psychic readings? What is your place?
Yes.
Kind of walk us through what it looks like.
Well, you know, I'd love to tell you my story about my bookstore, because it's rather miraculous. I had never had an agenda to open a store of any kind. In October of 2011, the late October, I was at a silent meditation retreat in California. And at the conclusion of the retreat, it was at this beautiful campus, and there was a little bookstore there, and I went into the bookstore, and I just walked in, and I went, oh, I love these places. They meet everyone exactly where they are. Because I always had a very deep desire for more of a sense of community, a spiritual community in Jackson Hole. And while I was well-connected because of my many friends, there just wasn't an easy way to access it. And so anyway, there I was in this little bookstore thinking this thought. And then the next day I was meeting someone, and they said, oh, let's meet at this bookstore, which was one of the biggest metaphysical bookstores in California. And the next thing I know, I'm having dinner with a friend who used to live in Jackson Hole, and out of my mouth came, when are you going to move back to Jackson Hole so you can run my bookstore for me? And my friend said, without skipping a beat, she said, oh, you don't need me. You just need some people to help you execute your vision. And I quickly said, did you hear what I just said? What was that about? And she said, it sounds like you want to open a bookstore. Well, I flew home the next day, and this was October 25th, 2011, and I said to my husband, I think I want to open a little bookstore. I had had my office for my counseling in the back of this building, and there was this vacant space in the front that had been absolutely vacant for years. And I said, I think I want to open a little bookstore in this spot. And I called up a friend who had owned a bookstore who I had known. And I said, am I crazy? I mean, who the heck opens a bookstore in 2011? And he and I had lunch, and I told him about my idea of having this little bookstore and also offering classes and education and in shamanism and meditation and intuition and so on and so forth. And he said, you know, I actually think that it's a great idea, and this spot is a great idea, and I don't think that you really need to worry too much about, you know, Kindle and Amazon, because these are the types of books that people actually like to have fall off the shelf for them. And so I said, well, I don't even have the slightest clue how to begin this process. Could I hire you to help me get this off the ground? And He and his wife had owned a bookstore and had recently sold it, but literally within the month had just completed their no-compete time. And he said, well, I cannot because I'm busy, but my wife, who really ran the store, is looking for a project right now. And so she and I chatted, and the three of us met 2 days later, and she had a 100-item list of everything that I needed to do to open this bookstore, and with the intention of opening it in mid-December. And so there I was going, oh, my goodness, I guess I'm really going to do this. And I was hemming and hawing, and I have three young children, and I was deliberating, okay, I'm going to sign this lease here in early November, and trying to figure things out and going, I can't do this. My husband works huge hours in the wintertime, and I said, I've got these three kids, and it's going to be Christmas break, and if I'm opening a store, there's no way. And the telephone rings, and it's our old favorite babysitter who literally called to say, hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm back in town, and I have nothing going on, and I'd love to babysit for you as much as you need. And I hung up the phone and burst into tears, and my husband going, oh, my gosh, I really can't get out of this, can I? And then the next thing was a matter of signing the lease, and I kept trying to pin down my landlord and he trying to pin me down. Well, lo and behold, the moment that I actually pinned, we finally got together to sign the lease was on Friday, 11-11-11, and it was at right around 11-11 in the morning when I signed the lease. And so I just sort of see that as an indicator that this was supposed to happen, that I just was a vessel through which this whole project, which has started as a bookstore, was made manifest. And ultimately, I did my darndest to try to open between the 10th and 15th of December, but the store opened on the solstice on December 21st, 2011. And all I know is that was when it was meant to start, right there at the beginning of the astrological year 2012. So that's kind of how it's been for me. I've never been one to have an agenda for a store. I just really kind of opened myself to the flow of the universe, and everything just started to fall into place really easily. And that's kind of how it's worked in terms of the store itself, manifesting and also what it carries and who comes to teach programs and so on and so forth. It's been a very amazing and aligned and miraculous process.
So do you have a lot of Indian product, like drums, or has the Native American Indians come in to sell their wares to you?
You know, not as much as you might think. We have books on shamanism, and we have things for smudging and clearing and so on and so forth. But because of Jackson Hole's location here in the American West, on our town square, we have a lot of sort of Western art and Native American heritage things that are sort of more tourist attraction type things. So I'm a small store, and I don't really compete with trying to get into too much sort of just Native American artwork and things like that. But we do have, you know, sort of tools and things like that that people would use for sacred purposes. And we do have, I think next week we're offering a class on Native American clearing and ceremony through the store. So we do things like that. There is definitely, we do shamanism things as well, and have things from Peru. But, you know, that's more sort of the Peruvian shamanism.
So what is the actual population of Jackson Hole? How many people?
You know, I'm embarrassed to say that I don't have the specific number. I think that the year-round community is between 20,000 and 30,000. But then you know, we are with Grand Teton National Park and the south entrance of Grand Teton and Yellowstone National Parks. We get over 3 million visitors in the summertime, and then with our ski area, we have 300,000 plus in the winter. So it's definitely a resort community here with a relatively small year-round community.
I heard there was a mudslide not too long ago in Jackson Hole. Did it take out many homes when it happened?
No, it was a landslide, and it did take out one home, and there was a brand new Walgreens pharmacy that I think had only been open for a month or something, and that had to be closed. But other than that, everything else seems to be stable. It was rather exciting because it was right in the heart of town, but there was not much destruction, thankfully.
Okay. Now, you still have an airport there, right?
Oh, absolutely, yes. We have the only airport in a national park here in Grand Teton National Park.
Can large airplanes land there, or is it still small airplanes?
We do have some jets. You know, they're not the biggest jets, but they, you know, they're kind of, I think, 737s or something like that. They do fly in and out of Jackson, and, you know, we do have a lot of direct flights as well from all over the country now. We were limited in the past with just sort of Denver and Salt Lake City as our hubs, but now I think there are direct flights from Atlanta and Newark, New Jersey, and Dallas, and San Francisco, maybe even Los Angeles. There are some flights. So we're getting more and more sophisticated all the time.
So do you have Delta and American Airlines come there?
Yes, we do.
Oh, well, good.
Yeah. And United is also one of the big ones that comes.
Okay. Tell us about what inspired you to put together your magazine.
That evolved very much like my store did, and it kind of really was an offshoot from my store, frankly, because what I discovered when I opened the store is that there were just so many people in the community and the surrounding region who were so excited to have a place to come to sort of begin to find out about various different offerings in the area. And I wasn't, you know, the amount of business cards people were wanting to hang up on our bulletin board and programs that people were doing, I couldn't even begin to stay on top of it. And that is really what inspired the inception of Teton Spirit Connection. And what Teton Spirit Connection really is it's about kind of bringing to the forefront that there are all of these different healers and other beings who are tapping into the energy of this place, and that it's all available right there at your fingertips. And so I did a Kickstarter campaign last June and July and raised the money to publish the first issue of the magazine, and then And that also contributed to the website. So you can go to www.tetonspirit.com and find a directory of all of many different practitioners offering their different modalities here in the valley. You can also, from the website at tetonspirit.com, you can see past issues of the magazine. And I think your listeners probably would be very excited, especially to see the first issue, which was issue number one, which was distributed in August of 2013, because there's an article in particular called The Spiritual Significance of the Tetons Today, which is very relevant to what we're talking about today. But you can flip through every page of the magazine right there on the website if people are so inclined. And that comes out twice a year on the solstice.
So you have a magazine just twice a year, right?
Only twice a year, yeah.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. And I like the times that you pick to do it. So tell us more about you and yourself in your work, your counseling work, and the things that... Now, do you do long-distance healing work with people? Can they call you by phone or Skype, or how do you work?
I can do phone sessions or Skype sessions, really anything that anyone wants to do.
What is your email address for them to contact you?
SamanthaSEddy@gmail.com.
Okay. Good. Well, I have just been so wanting to go back to the Tetons. You know, years ago, especially back in the 80s, I was there quite a bit, and I would go up January 1 through 7 and July 1 through 7. But in 1986, there were some meetings that were taking place inside the mountains that lasted for 6 weeks.
Mm.
And I was instructed to write the minutes of these meetings, and I was actually taken inside the mountain and had such a strong experience that it was hard for me to come back to reality after I came out of the mountain. It's like the man that I was with, he had to set me down at a racetrack not far from there and just let me watch horses for, you know, about a week, because I couldn't hardly get my mind wrapped around being back in 3D. It was such a high experience. And I remember when I walked in and saw all the different beings, and the first thing that came out of my mouth, which was so typical of me, I said, well, where's Dan Rather? He ought to be here. Where's CBS and AB? Why don't you have the cameras rolling? I mean, what a statement for me to make, to walk in and say that, right? Years later, I regretted saying that. That was where I was at the time. But I did write it up, and I have not put it on my website, but I still have it, that have the report, and someday I probably will put it on our website for people to see. But the Tetons has always been a place that I know for a fact has been a sacred site for a lot of extraterrestrials and celestial beings that have been coming and going from this planet for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place of balance. And when you said what you did about the valley and being a vortex, I could really see that, the way the people are called there. I think people will resonate and take their physical bodies and set their butts down in places where they really need to be. And I think that's what happened to you.
Oh, yeah, I'm quite sure of it. There's not a doubt in my mind. You know, I've been graced with a lot of communication from beings from beyond, and I'm very aware that, you know, here in the physical, I'm doing something that has to do with all of this.
Absolutely. And you know, there's also a ley line frequency and probably underground tunnels that have been built from the Tetons to Mount Charleston in Nevada that go on to Mount Shasta in California. You know, they all are connected to higher vibration for celestial beings to travel from. You know, I really believe that. Now, have you seen a lot of what we call cloud ships over the Tetons?
Well, you know, it's funny. There is sort of a cloud that always is sort of just hanging over the tip of the Grand Teton, which is sort of the most pointed of the mountains. And there definitely, yes, there is appearance of that for sure.
Yeah.
With frequency. Yes.
We've had several clients and several starseeds to take trips up there for the last few years. And I remember a couple of girls were walking up to the Teton area and actually had some ETs appear to them and pass them on information that they were to tell us to bring to the radio show, which was kind of interesting. That was, what, 3 or 4 years ago when that happened. I thought that was pretty exciting.
Well, you know, just like you, there's a lot of people who have had some profound experiences here in the Tetons. And, you know, it's a very interesting thing that I have yet to understand. It seems as though there are quite a number of light workers who come to the Tetons, but they actually don't make any communication with our local community here. You know, they're on a mission and have been guided to come to this area to do their specific mission, but we haven't sort of experienced, you know, sort of a collaboration between those of us who are holding the space all the time and these light workers who are coming in here. You know, an example of that is, let me just double-check the date here. There's something called the Congress of Illumination happening in Jackson Hole on September 13th to the 18th with someone by the name of Patricia Cota Robles. And she does a lot of channeling and light worker work. And so there's this big event happening here, as I said, in September. So, you know, I do hope that ultimately that's something that, you know, maybe with my store being in place will begin to happen where there's an integration with those of us who are here year round and holding the space.
Well, I think after this radio show, you're going to find some people getting in their cars and driving up there to see you.
Well, that would be cool. That would be super fun. You know, we love it, and we love people who, you know, it was great to, you know, earlier this month we had some people from Switzerland who had been reading about Saint Germain and the Ascended Masters, and they're asking, where do we go? Where do we go? And so, you know, there isn't much information other than what's on the internet about it. So you'll have to get your minutes typed up and share them with us one of these days soon, Lavendar.
Yeah, I will. So I notice what time it is. So I'm Ariel, are you there?
Yes, ma'am. I'm here.
So Samantha, I'm going to turn you over to Ariel. She has the switchboard, and if there's anybody that wants to call in and say hello to our friend Samantha at the Tetons, we welcome you to do that. And I think Barbara, I talked to her earlier, and she said that she was going to call in and talk. So, Ariel, you might look for I don't know the area code up there.
Oh, 307.
Is that what it is?
307.
Oh, 307. Okay, you might look for 307 and Barbara, because I think she said she would be calling in. And that's our forest ranger friend that lives at the Tetons.
Great.
So, Samantha, thank you so much. And when I get up that way, I want to come and see you.
Okay, well, thank you, and thanks again for the opportunity to share. I really appreciate it.
Okay, back to you, Ariel.
Okay. Well, Samantha, we have some people in the screening room, and so we'll have to wait until they come out before we can bring them on the air. But
okay.
I know that the first week of July and the first week of January is when all the meetings are going on, and I just have to ask if, besides the cloud ships, have you noticed, or anyone that you know noticed, the, you know, high strangeness or the frequency changing, or, you know, strange people walking around in those weeks?
You know, January here is it's full winter conditions, and you know, truthfully, I think one of the things about this place is that people are so in awe of the landscape that actually noticing things kind of on an energetic level is less apropos for the general population. In January in particular, you know, it's generally quite snowy and all these other things. I think more than anything, you know, we really to tap into the different ways that that beings from beyond communicate with us, and the animals that are here play such a significant role in how we feel spoken to. And so I think that just experiencing communication from, you know, the eagles and the hawks and all who are spreading their wisdom from beyond is probably the most appropriate way to communicate that's been happening here on a regular basis.
Well, it's entirely possible that their energies are being joined with higher energies, and certainly in an animal form, they don't have to contend with the same third-dimensional concerns that we do. So we have a person coming out of the screening room now who would like to speak. I don't have a name here, but we are going to be speaking with 970 about an encounter with a non-human. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, hello, Samantha. My name is Bob. I'm calling from Colorado. And, yeah, I used to go ahead and take solo camping trips up into the Tetons. And at that time, I was not awake. But I had one very strange thing happen to me late at night where something came within about 4 feet of where I was in my tent. And I could tell it was really big, and I thought it was a bear. So I made a noise like like that, and it took off. And when it took off, it jumped like about 16 feet into the water, and it made a big, huge splashing sound. And the ground shook. And I was like, okay, what was that? Well, when I asked this person who could access the Akasha, she told me that it was an enormous light being, and that I was camped near a portal. And you had mentioned a vortex, and sure enough, if you look on the Internet, the Earth Star Vortex is, I believe, the largest vortex in North America. And it's the origin of the Earth Star Vortex is the Grand Tetons.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there is no question that the veil is very thin here. It's cool because I have a great friend who's part of, you know, sort of the traditional religious, she's a minister at a church, and she was like, you know, the veil is really thin here. And I just sort of chuckled and went, uh-huh. You know? But, but indeed, the veil is very thin here. And, you know, we are graced with this physical beauty that immediately opens our heart to the awe that nature provides, that this, that sort of, you know, paradise on earth can exist. And so as we open to that and expand our hearts into, you know, a heart consciousness, then we're more apt to be able to open ourselves to experiencing these beings and this wisdom from other realms. And I myself have had quite a number of encounters where I, you know, sort of do a double take, like, what's happening here? I'm not really getting into my own personal experiences that much because we're just really talking about the Tetons. But indeed, I have had quite a number of different encounters with different beings offering their wisdom to me and talking about the energy of the Tetons and how it's really setting forth a paradigm for opening our heart consciousness.
Now, what sort of a being, did you encounter beings up in the Tetons that you can talk about? Or?
Well, you know, I am graced to have had quite a lot of experiences. So, you know, on occasion I've had, you know, Native American shamans and chieftains communicate to me when I've been in the Tetons. I have been graced to have Saint Germain himself speak with me. I also have received guidance and communication, protection, all of the above from Hathor beings.
Well, can you explain what a Hathor being is? Because I have a picture.
Hathors come from another realm. They were very involved with guidance in Egypt. In fact, if you Google Hathors, you will find pictures on Egyptian structures that show what they looked like. You know, I know this is Starseed Radio, but I personally am just so emphatically interested in the integration of all of us that come from other realms, integrating into our evolutionary state and becoming one with both dimensions or all of the dimensions that we have access to. And so I personally have had some experiences where people just sort of get attached to the being and less so to what that communication that has been given us is relevant to the here and now on the earth plane. So so I'm sorry I sound a little elusive, but that's just my approach.
That's all right, yeah. I had another encounter up there, too. It was with, believe it or not, a deer that hung around one of my campsites for like 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually ate an apple out of my hand, and I asked about that one as well. And this person who accesses the Akasha told me that I had a past life as a Native American there, and that
mm-hmm.
that deer was actually the reincarnation of one of my friends who just came by to say hello. And I thought
that sounds
fantastic.
Right to me. Absolutely. And yes, you know, the Tetons, I think I said this at the very beginning of this show, the Tetons have always been a sacred area, and the Sheep Eater tribe, which is affiliated with the Shoshone, summered here, and there's tons of residue of obsidian and shards from arrow makings and whatnot throughout the Tetons, especially at the base of Teton Pass, which is where my little shop is, and indeed, one thing that is absolutely relevant here is the wildlife is always communicating with us, and that is something that universally everyone who lives in this area is always tapping into. Oh, I had a visit from, you know, a bull moose today, and exploring sort of the communications that are coming from the natural realm, and oftentimes they're coming from all different realms, but just coming in the animal form because it's a very easy way for them to do that.
Yeah, I've had a big explosion of that happening over the last few months here in Colorado, which has not happened to me before, where it's almost like on a daily basis that a different wildlife encounter I'll have, and it'll just be so synchronous that I know that something's going on beyond what's there on the surface. But it was great to talk to you. I'll let somebody else go ahead and have their get their mitts at you.
Okay,
it was really
thanks.
Nice to go ahead and just chat on the Tetons and mention the vortex and the Earthstar vortex, the portal that I had found, and it's real for the people who are listening, and there's some really neat
things
going
on. Yes, it is. It's very real. It's very real.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Samantha.
Thank you, Bob.
All right,
bye-bye. Thanks for calling, Bob.
You bet. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, and I don't know if you have this at your store, but there are some cards called the medicine cards and animal medicine sacred
mm-hmm.
pack. Are you familiar with those?
Yes, we carry both. I was going to say that to Bob, actually. The medicine cards in particular and the sacred path cards we can't even keep them in the store very long because we sell so many of them. Because we have such a prominent wildlife here, people are always wanting to understand what messages are coming from the animals. And Stephen Farmer also has written a really great book.
The lady that wrote those books, Jamie Sams, was another starseed that Lavendar empowered and encouraged her to do that. So kind of comes full circle in that regard.
Oh, that's so cool. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Jamie Sams. She's fantastic.
Well, we have our friend Barbara is on the line here. Hello, Barbara from the Tetons. Welcome.
Well, yes, and a heart full of gratitude to you, Samantha. You know, I know we have crossed paths, but we don't really realize we have because I've been here 25 years. I actually live in Moose, so I'm holding phenomenal balance for up here, and you're holding for Wilson.
Yes, well, thank you. I appreciate you making the suggestion that I speak, and thanks for doing what you're doing up in Moose.
Yes, and I will be participating with Patricia Kotorobis for the 28th conference on Lumen. There's supposed to be probably representative of 20 foreign countries, and it's about peace, holding the vibration So, yes, we do have a representative there.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. Well, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with her. There's also a woman by the name of Daniela Botor who's going to be playing Crystal Sound Bowls.
Yes, I'm one that connected them.
Oh, you did? Oh, great. Oh, good, good. Well, thank you again. You're a wonderful connector. And getting this energy of the Tetons thing really happening. So I appreciate your sharing us with everybody.
Yes, we're just the vessels.
Yes, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
Well, if you ever have the opportunity to get to Wilson, it would be a delight to meet you.
Yes, that will happen.
Okay.
Hey,
that sounds
all right.
Great.
All right, walk in beauty.
You too.
All right, bye.
Thanks
bye.
For calling, Barbara. Bye-bye.
Well, that was great. If anyone else has a question or comment, you need to press 1 on your keypad so that we know you want to come on the air. And while we are waiting to see if anyone else has a comment. So you started off in New England. You went to Europe, and you ended up in Jackson Hole following your inner guidance the whole time. So what is next? Are you seeing another step or level in what you do?
I don't see moving any place anytime soon.
Obviously not.
all of this stuff is really just started, as I was saying, I only opened the store in the end of 2011 and then started the magazine and website just last year. I really feel as though the energy of the Tetons, while it's always been here, is now really coming into its place, as if the planet itself is awakening places on the planet for specific purposes, and that the Tetons right now are becoming more and more of an energy center where there's a consciousness in humanity to tap into the energy here that just seems to be just beginning to take off. And I'm just really excited to witness and see how it all evolves. I really am.
Well, do you keep a journal?
Oh, yes. I have been journaling nonstop for about 15 years, and I do have pages and pages of my own insights and communications that have happened over the years, and the guidance that I've received. And who knows, perhaps one of these days I'm going to put it together formally and do something with it. But for the moment, it's just compiling while I've been launching all these other projects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it would just be so logical if you have a bookstore to write a book.
I guess that does make sense, yes.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have to worry about marketing or anything. But
right.
I'm sure that you have, you know, a lot of stories and personal things that, when you step back and look at it, you see the grand tapestry of it, rather than isolated stories of, you know, non-connected happenings, and that really helps to weave a picture for the rest of us that don't get to live there.
Yes. Well, you know, when I was talking to Lavendar and talking about the number 22 and how sort of extraordinary that all is, yes, I'm always looking, you know, sort of in something and then pull back and connect the dots, because truthfully, I think that's how we get our confirmations as we move through our experiences.
Definitely. And things that you think are unrelated, eventually they come together, they converge at a single point, and then, you have to step back and really be able to see the big picture of how all these things happen, and especially with the number 22 and the synchronicities with that, and just what a gift to have a place like that, not only on the planet but in our own country.
It is. It's a truly extraordinary thing, and I've been to some amazing places on the planet where there is very potent energy. And it, as I said before, it really feels as though there's an emergence happening with the Tetons, and that while the energy has always been here, it's like it's really coming to the surface and coming into consciousness with people who are interested, you know, in their soul's purpose and, you know, your community of starseed people, but also with just the general population with, wow, there's something about this place that makes me feel magical that I can't even begin to explain, but it's tapping into my heart center in an entirely different way. And as I said before, you know, with the Tetons literally being named for female breasts, it truly is it is an emerging heart chakra for the planet. And truly, I think that we're in a phase and time on our planet where we are being forced to move into a heart-based consciousness. And I am proud to say that I think that that's really already beginning to happen here in the Tetons. And may we be an example for all people, but may we also help people access that heart consciousness as well.
Well, very well said. As you were talking, I was kind of imagining a geyser of that heart connection vibration just pulsing out of that area, and then it just kind of it gets wider and wider and bigger and floats along and covers the planet. But
we have the geysers physically too here, you know, with Yellowstone National Park, Old Faithful, for gosh sakes. You know, it's going off regularly and emitting energy from the core of the earth all the time. So so we actually have it in our geographics as well as energetically.
Literally and figuratively.
Yes, exactly.
Well, that is wonderful, and I'm so glad that you were able to spend some time with us this evening. And it doesn't look like we're going to have anybody else with questions, although we do have a lot of people listening. I think they're just really enjoying the description, and you do it so well that it's can almost get a taste through your eyes of what the energy must be like there. And I would love to see that myself and experience it. And as you were saying, I think the amazing thing is that even people who are not necessarily so, you know, spiritual or metaphysical, and they get there, and even they can sense it. I think that was your point, that, you know, people that come there,
yes,
not, they think that they're just going to another national park and then something happens that ignites or activates something, whether it's the feminine heart connection or just a raising of consciousness. What a great experience.
Yes, well, that's precisely what I was talking about. It is, there's just an energetic resonance that absolutely strikes people when they're here. And I know many people who are not necessarily tuned into energy at all who feel it and are profoundly moved by it, and they're just in awareness, like, there's something about this place that makes me feel so good. I keep trying to go somewhere else, and I just keep being called back to the Tetons and not fully understanding why, but experiencing it and understanding that there is something that's just waking inside of them that happens here.
Well, it's the power of the land. I mean, of Mother Nature and the animals and the vortex and the mountains and the topography of the area. I mean, it's all almost a divine plan that I don't think it was an accident, I guess.
I don't think anything's an accident at all. it's an accident whether we choose to notice how it all happens or not. But truthfully, I think that there's serendipity, but truly there's a lot of divine planning that is far larger than we are, that we just get to go along for the ride and feel how it happens.
Well, I think it's great what you're doing and being a connecting force to gather all the people who are working, as you said, kind of underground or word of mouth, and helping to bring them together to benefit the whole community. So,
well, thank you. Go ahead.
I was going to say high kudos in that vision that, I mean, you saw the need for it to be done, and then the way that it happened and unfolded, you went with it, you know. And there was like a million, oh, well, you know, this is why it can't happen now kind of thing. But you just let that all go, and you completely went with it. And that's not something that everyone can do, and unfortunately. But your story is inspiring others to just, you know, follow those leads and pay attention. You got your eyes open and you see these things.
Well, it's true. You know, when you allow yourself to kind of turn on the faucet of divine guidance, it starts to move through you more and more easily. And it's only when we sort of try to turn the faucet off that things get more complicated. And I can speak on that too, because, you know, everything happened so smoothly, and then all of a sudden it was, oh my gosh, look at what I've done. And as soon as I sort of wobbled in my thoughts, things got a little bit complicated, but then I got right back on track and everything fell right back into place. And you know, if we can all learn to live our lives that way, where we're in a place of faith and trust, everything gets a lot easier all the time, you know, it really does. And there are moments at this time where I question, oh my gosh, what am I doing with all of this stuff? You know, is this place really everything that I believe it to be? But then, you know, the next piece falls into place, reminding me that indeed that is the case. And, you know, it's time right now for the Tetons to be that place of awakening and to be a spiritual destination here in our country, on our planet, and really foster the heart connection that I think we're all ultimately striving for.
Well, that was very well said, and I would just want to thank you so much for sharing your story and your work and your time with our audience. And once again, I just want to recap your websites. Go back to my notes here, TetonSpirit.com, SamanthaEddy.com, that's E-D-D-Y, and SpiritJH.com. And you said your email address before is
SamanthaSEddy@gmail.com.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Samantha, and want to thank everyone in our audience for listening. And please come on back and let us know how things are developing. And, you know, I just know it's going to get higher and better and stronger for you. Lavendar, do you have anything that you would like to interject before I wrap up?
I would like to ask, Samantha, is there a place up there that, where there's hot springs where you can go get on the hot water and take a bath?
You know, there are a couple. Right in Jackson Hole, there is a little hot spring right in Grand Teton National Park, but then we also have a really wonderful, they've actually sort of built a pool around the hot springs just south of Jackson. It's called Granite Hot Springs, and then there also is a couple places in the Yellowstone area where there are hot springs. So, yes, indeed, we do have our own healing waters in the area.
That's just another reason for me to get up there.
Yeah, I think, you know, there are so many different reasons to come here, and I do hope that all your listeners do sort of feel inspired to tap into the energy of the Tetons and to come and experience it for themselves. And, you know, anytime stop in, my little shop is at the base of Teton Pass and in the little enclave called Wilson, just outside of downtown Jackson Hole, and we'd love to see you all.
Okay, good. Well, we'll see you sooner or later, because I know that Tetons are on my agenda to showing up there in the next couple of years. I just need to go do it.
Well, I'm sure, you know, when they start calling you, you got to listen, right? So, so thanks again for having me and this great opportunity, and it's really been a pleasure.
Well, the same here, and thank you so much for joining us, everyone. This is Ariel, along with Lavendar, and all of us here at Starseed Radio Academy, Vanya, Claudia, Fiona, and Anastasia. We will be back next week, and until then, just shine on. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Starseed Radio Academy. Visit our website at www.starseedhotline.com.